in the first words recorded of Jesus' public ministry, right? If you went to Mark chapter 1 or Matthew chapter 3, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Jesus' message to people he spoke to. The first things he said after John the Baptist is in prison, after he's been tempted by the devil in the desert, he comes out and he begins public ministry. He says, repent and believe the gospel. Very serious stuff. And the 12 were with him. Jesus went through the cities and villages, if you're back in Luke in chapter 8, went through the cities and villages proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. And then they named them Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out. Do demons inhabit people and come out of them? The Bible teaches yes. Do you believe that that's true? Did you think that was just before and doesn't happen now? Why do you think that? This woman, Mary, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's household manager. Herod, the murderous king, actually the grandson of the murderous king, but still another Herod, the household manager, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their means. So in these people, we see witness to discipleship. These people follow Jesus. These people are where Jesus is. Where Jesus is doing work, where God is at work, these people are there alongside of the work, facilitating the work, some out of their own means. We see a personal witness as evidence of the power of God to heal. Come and listen to what Jesus has done for me. More than that, coming alongside, oh, God, what are you going to do today? The greatness of his power to deliver us from sin, let me tell you what happened to me. He can help you. Are you addicted to heroin? God can help you. I've seen it. We see God's provision for the ministry through these people, don't we? People with changed lives coming alongside effective ministry. Effective ministry. So, in light of this story and the way that it's unfolding, what is your history? You sit here. Some of you, I know some of your story. The stories are all still unfolding. What's your history? What is the history of the success of God through your faith? So what's different about you because of faith and God at work in you? To bring the good news to others, like Jesus did. Or like Mary Magdalene, or Joanna, or Susanna, and many others. What's your history of your walk with God? Does faith in God make any difference whatsoever in your life? Aside from encouraging us to suck it up and wait for his return. I mean, I carefully choosing my words, I pity you if that's all you have. That seems arrogant. It seems patronizing. How dare you up there in your higher little pulpit tell me you pity me? But if you're just sucking it up until his return, there is an absence of the overcoming power of God in your life by which the gospel is proclaimed. He's made a difference in these people's lives. He'll make a difference in your life. Why is he not making a difference in your life? Now, there are some things. Now, don't think I'm proclaiming this prosperity doctrine and God should fill your bank account and he should make all your sickness go away and you should be shiny and happy. That's not it at all. But there's more to it than that. Does your faith and God's power change lives? I'm asking you, point blank. Does it make any difference in the lives of others? Your changed life. That's been touched by God. How does your life preach? Right? If Jesus brings the good news, if that could be preach, right? Euangelizo. How does your life preach? How do you, as a follower of Jesus, your Lord and Savior, bring the gospel? How do you evangelize others by how you live? Because I think that all of us have for any amount of time in our life thought evangelists are the Billy Grahams, right? Or we're going to go do evangelism, right? We're going to stand on a corner with tracts and accost passersby as if we were looking for donations for the Heart Association. Or, you know, will you help us to save animals? Oh, no. Me, this person with the clipboard, I'm the Jesus person. Right? And then people think that's evangelism, but it's not. I mean, it can be to say, hey, in your busy, busy life, there's another chap at your door with someone saying, hey, just take this away and think about it later. Because you don't come to church, because you're here in the park. So people have done that over time. But if you think about that and you think, that is exactly what I will never do, that's not the only way. But Jesus, in his life, he proclaimed and he brought the good news of the kingdom of God. And how do you and how you face life bear witness to the power of God to overcome, right? My life is good because of Jesus. You should follow him too. Is that all that a Christian has? Or has God ordained suffering too? And allowed it in your life, and you've suffered. And do you, in how you face life, bear witness to the power of God to overcome in the face of suffering? In spite of suffering? Because everybody's got a genetic hand they've been dealt by all the pieces that make up your body. And bodies will fail in different ways. No one here gets out alive. God doesn't make us bulletproof and immortal in this physical body. But he has called us to eternal life with him and to face the obstacles. As we're looking at Luke chapter 8, that's what we're talking about.